Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Thursday morning. Looking ahead to the Titans and the Colts tonight at Nissan Stadium. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com. Jim, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Not too much. Hope you guys are doing well.
We are. And, Jim, some Titans fans not doing so well this morning. A lot of nervous energy we sense, maybe even here in the studio from one of our producers, about this matchup with the Colts that typically has not gone the Titans' way in recent history. What do you make of this specific matchup for the Titans against the Colts tonight?
Well, I mean, I think certainly this is a time the Titans got to figure out a way to get over the hump and beat a Colts team when it really, really matters. I mean, I've covered this team for a long time, and it was a stretch during the early portion of the Titans years where the Titans, you know, kind of owned this little bit of a rivalry and won a playoff game in Indianapolis, you know, in 2000 during that Super Bowl season, you know, beat them a couple of times in 2002. And then what's happened since has just been crazy. I mean, you look at the all-time series results, and there's a lot of L's. And you look from 2008 on, and the Titans are 5-19 against the Colts. And that's why Reggie Wayne and that's why Pat McAfee, you know, stand up on the draft stage in Nashville and kind of throwing shade on the Titans. And, you know, if you're going to establish yourself in the AFC and establish yourself in the AFC South, you got to find a way to win this game, and you got to find a way to win this division for the first time since 2008. So everything that's happened up until this point, you know, in previous years, doesn't matter, but unless you continue to lose, and while the Titans have, you know, split the last couple of games last year and split over the last 3 years, this is, in my mind, a really, you know, crossroads game. You know, Mike Vrabel talked about the game last week. It's a very been a crossroads game in the season. I think this is one of those crossroads games in this rivalry where the Titans have got to figure out a way to win and not worry about the history that I just talked so much about leading up to that answer.
So does this feel like a little bit of a role reversal, Jim? You know, the Titans have the better skill guys, or at least we think so. I mean, I think they have an edge at quarterback. The Colts have this really gritty, great defensive team. Does it feel a little bit like they've switched hats?
Maybe, but I mean, you got to win, though. I mean, that's the thing. As the Colts have always kind of been a nemesis for the Titans, and no matter what the personnel look like, and I do think the Titans, you know, what they've done here over the last 4 years, and getting to, you know, going 9-7, you know, 4 years in a row, and getting to the AFC Championship game last year. I mean, it feels like the Titans are kind of surging ahead. But and I've certainly got personnel that's built to win this year and moving forward. But the Colts got a great defense, and they've got a quarterback who's, you know, tough to fool, and it's going to be a tough out. And you know, Titans obviously I think have a good, really good chance to win this game, but you know, got to figure out a way to do it.
Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jim, the challenge tonight for Arthur Smith and company to move the ball against this very talented Colts defense. What do you anticipate the game plan looking like? What do you anticipate that challenge looking like for Arthur Smith and company?
Well, I mean, it's going to take both, you know, all facets of offense to do it, because you know, the Colts are tough against, you know, the tough as a defense. I mean, they're fast. They're ranked number one in the league. They give up 290 yards a game. You know, they're third in the league in run defense. I mean, they're going to be hard to move the ball against, just lining up and running it at them. So Tannehill is going to have to be able to stretch the field and open some things up for Derrick Henry. And then I think the Titans will have success. I mean, this is kind of strength versus strength in a lot of ways. But, the Titans are not just a team that's led by Henry. You know, it's crazy to look at Ryan Tannehill's numbers since he took over as a starter last year. And I was on Sirius XM this morning, and they were asking me about Tannehill. And you know, you still get back to the whole Ryan Tannehill game manager, type of questions. Like, he's a complimentary piece, and he's not a complimentary piece. I mean, there have been games where the Titans have won when Henry didn't play well, but I think for you to win consistently, you've got to, be able to have a complete offense and do both well. And I think this is a game where the Titans are going to have to do that. I mean, yes, you need to run it, but Tannehill's going to have to make some plays downfield, and I think they'll try to find that mix tonight.
So the other side, we know Adoree Jackson is activated. He won't play tonight. At some point, he should be back out there. But in the meantime, there is some momentum, albeit against a pretty bad Bears offense and statuesque quarterback in Nick Foles. But got some pass rush going. Breon Borders, Derek Roberson. Obviously, Desmond King came out and gave them something. Now you get Clowney back. How do you see that side of the ball trying to build on that against this Colts offense?
Well, I was really encouraged by secondary. And again, it's just one game. And again, it's not, it's against the Bears team that has its limitations on offense. So this is a different challenge. But it does seem like they settled down a little bit. I mean, things were just horrific for so long on third down. It's so bad that you hold the Bears to 2-15 on third down and you're still last in the league. That just kind of tells you how tough it's been. I would think, as long as Jeffrey Simmons continues to be able to disrupt inside, that's going to free some things up for the guys outside. Guys have got to get home. I mean, Clowney's been close. He's got to figure out a way to close the deal. And same with Landry. I think Roberson gives you a boost. And some of the guys in the secondary are going to have to start to make some plays. I do think once the team gets Adoree back, it's going to look more like what they had in mind when the season started. Some of what's happened and some of the struggles on third down are frankly just because guys have been playing that just really probably had no business being on the field as much as they had been. One of those guys is not here any longer than Jonathan Joseph, but this secondary was supposed to have more speed with the Dory and Christian Fulton in there. Instead, both those guys have been sidelined, and you've had to put other guys in there. Now, with King in there, maybe gives you a little bit more stability. You can get a Dory back. In the future, it looks more like it was supposed to be, but for the time being, you've got to have some other guys step up.
Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jim, we've talked a lot so far in today's show about A.J. Brown and exactly where he fits in from a league-wide discussion at the wide receiver position. Where do you think A.J. Brown's improved the most from year one to year two?
I think he's always kind of had that ability to, to kind of shake and throw guys off of him. I think he has just a better maybe field awareness and, finding even more ways to be good after the catch. I mean, we saw him, I guess, a couple of games back where he makes the catch and goes for 73 yards for a touchdown. But then on Sunday, he makes a catch and it looks like he's going out of bounds. He kind of stops himself, reverses course, and is able to get more out of it. I just think he has a better awareness, of what defenses are doing and ways he can kind of maximize every catch. I mean, and he's still not there yet, but when I watch him, I mean, I can't help but think about how good he's going to be. I mean, Derek Mason was a special player, for this team, and then we're going to have a great, career with the Ravens as well. I mean, the Titans haven't had a receiver that's capable of doing what what Mason did since they drafted AJ, and they're completely different players. And I think if he just keeps on improving and stays healthy, I mean, I think he's going to end up being the best receiver this franchise has ever had. And I think part of it's because he does work so hard and figures out what's holding him back and how he can get better and tries to figure out a way to do that.
Yeah, I think that's a really encouraging part, as he is. Like, I've compared him to Kevin Byard a little bit. You know, those film junkies tend to be they tend to get the most out of themselves. So, but jumping on this debate with us, Jim, because we've been having it for a while, the words number one receiver, elite, top 10 in the NFL. When you hear those words and you hear A.J. Brown, where do you think he fits in right at this moment?
Well, I think he's I don't want to put him in the elite category yet. And I don't want to, necessarily put him in the top 10 yet, because I think you got to do it, you got to prove you can do it consistently when every team is gunning to try to stop you. And we all know last year in the playoffs he was quiet, and I think he is going to reach that. I mean, I think he's got potential to reach elite level and potential top five level, but I don't think he's there yet. And I think you kind of get that with just consistency and being able to do it week in and week out when you know everybody's trying to stop you.
Jim, before we let you go here, we've got a request on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You cannot let Jim Wyatt leave before you get the britches report. So with that being said, what is the britches report for tonight's game?
The britches report is Navy jersey, Navy socks, and the Navy blue britches. That is seen to take off. It's funny, people that see the britches report for the first time get a kick out of it. Like, who uses the word britches, in these day and times? And I guess that people seem to enjoy the use of the word britches. It kind of took off here several years back, and I kind of stuck with it. So that's the wardrobe check for this weekend.
Jim Wyatt.
For tonight, I should say. It's hard to believe we got another game coming up after playing Sunday.
Exactly. Yep. Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. Jim, appreciate you taking time to join us. Enjoy the game tonight.
Okay, we'll see you guys later. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Got to love the britches report.
Yep. And if it were the baby blue, then it would be Jammy Report.
Yeah, wouldn't have a lot of confidence. I'm glad they're going back to Navy. I'm a big fan of the Navy. I am.
The best britches would be the Navy britches with the baby blue jerseys. But
it's a ridiculous take. Really is. Ridiculous take. But that's okay. You've got to have a few ridiculous takes, and that's one of them.
Hey, I mean, do you hate that take or my banana pudding take more?
Oh, I hate the banana pudding take far worse than that.
All right.
The banana pudding take that you had and the disrespect that you and David Oven, by the way, showed for it made me for about 3.5 seconds want to fight both of you. I wanted to fight physically. So just keep that in mind.
But why don't you produce some good banana pudding instead?
Well, we'll see if I can do that. We're coming up on Thanksgiving, and that's typically when my go-to banana pudding is made available to me. So maybe I'll bring you some.
Okay.
What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'll try it.
Okay.
I'm fine with it. If I have no other dessert around, I'll eat some banana pudding.
There we go again. We'll
be able to try some on Black Friday.
Yeah, we will.
We'll
have a show. We'll be here.
I'll bring in a better dessert than banana pudding, and then Porth can be the judge.
I like that.
Remember what I said about wanting to fight him? Here we are again. We've returned to this spot. When we come back, is this Colts matchup bigger than the undefeated matchup a couple weeks ago between the Titans and the Steelers? How do we respond to that? You'll find out next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Brian, I know every game matters, but the reality is that the division ones do matter more when it comes to the placings and the standings at the end of the season. What's the importance and significance of a game that's not only within the division, but within the one team in the division that is close and that does threaten you all to win the division?
Yeah, no doubt it's a big game. Obviously, division games are huge. Being at home, big opportunity on Thursday night. So we're looking forward to this one. I know we all want this one really bad, as do they. But at the end of the day, it's going to come down to who can go out and execute and make the plays on Thursday night.
That was Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill in preparation for this game tonight against the Colts. A huge one. Titans have one game lead right now in the AFC South. If they win tonight, they are sitting pretty in the division with an opportunity to play the Colts again here in a couple of weeks. So a big one tonight at Nissan Stadium. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texts in, the Colts game is bigger than the Steelers game was because we have come back down to earth some now, and this game will represent more accurately where we are. Plus, it's a division foe after we've been shaky for 3.5 weeks, not to mention eyes into the future of the repeat matchup again in 2 weeks. So Ben says this matchup with the Colts bigger than the matchup a few weeks back between the undefeated Titans and the undefeated Steelers.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, also, later in the season is just bigger automatically, isn't it?
Yep.
You're trying to win a division. I know that was a – you know, when you're undefeated, you let all kinds of thoughts run through your head, and that was a who's an AFC contender game. But you got to win the division this year. This is the year the Titans need to win the AFC South. And you have a really strong chance of being in good position. You win this game tonight. You lose this game tonight, and you could see where it could flip the other way on you.
Yeah, I think this game is bigger. I think this is a bigger game. The division part of it, you can't ignore. And I want to see, you know, obviously when you're the Titans, that was the first game without Taylor Lewan, and now you're back in here. You've got some time with that offensive line to maybe gel a little bit more, getting used to that without Lewan. I think the Colts' pass rush is good. I don't think it's as good as that Steelers' pass rush that they saw a few weeks back. So I think you're probably better equipped to handle that in pass protection. Not saying it's going to be easy, but I think you're better equipped to do it now than you were in that Pittsburgh game. And I think that's going to be important that they are, because I mentioned earlier in the show, one of the main matchups I'm looking at, especially early in this game, is how much does Arthur Smith and Mike Vrabel, do they trust their offensive line to block in one-on-one situations in pass protection? Leaving the running back in maybe to help in that area, but letting Jonnu Smith and Anthony Firkser and your tight ends get out in routes quickly and create options in the passing game for Ryan Tannehill. That hasn't been the case a lot lately. It certainly wasn't the case much against Chicago. I thought Jonnu Smith was really limited in what he was able to do in that game because of Chicago's pass rush, and that limits this offense, I think, in a significant way. I'm interested to see how much trust the Titans have tonight with their O-line.
Well, and then it goes to Tannehill, and he has been, before Lewan was lost, second, third read, fourth read, and he's finding someone. And I think he's going to that first read a lot more and getting the ball out faster. And in some cases, early in two of the last three games, he's throwing like that kind of telegraphed, you know, outcut that almost gets picked off in some cases. So is he confident and comfortable enough to stand in there and go through the reads? And can he stay upright, and can he mentally get to that point too? I don't think he's had happy feet by any means, but he has a faster clock, which is totally understandable. Can they give him the time, and can he get back to – because, look, I mean, you're going to find people. I mean, the Colts are like a Tampa 2 team. That's basically what their defense is known as. I guess they're playing a lot more cover 3, but they're a zone team. That means there's holes in the zone. But you also have to have time sometimes to find them. You got to be able to let guys get to those spots. And, you know, you got to have protection. So it's protection, and it's his mindset, too, of hanging in there. I thought earlier in the year, at times I was just mesmerized by the length of time he was taking to let guys go through routes and find, you know, his third and fourth read.
I want to get to an interesting tweet that's been put out there by ESPN Stats and Info regarding Derrick Henry. It says, will Derrick Henry go off tonight? He's averaged 5.89 yards per rush in his career against the Colts, his second best against a single opponent, his first best coming against the Chiefs, averaging 7.6 yards per rush. So Derrick Henry's had some success against the Colts from an average yards per rush standpoint in his career, but I think a different animal they're going up against tonight with DeForest Buckner in the mix for Indy on defense.
Right. I mean, he absolutely killed them in Indy last year, and they did a better job on him here. But again, you're talking about a different offense, right? You're talking about a Mariota offense with no Taylor Lewan in the meeting here. You got Lewan, you got Tannehill at quarterback in the other meeting, but in the second half of that game, Derrick Henry went wild on the Colts. You know, Darius Leonard is a guy who is playing a lot better this year because he has DeForest Buckner. The 49ers were, I think, one of the best defensive lines I've ever seen in the NFL. I mean, no exaggeration.
No, they were ridiculous.
Dominating with him in the middle of all that, and they are good now. They've had other injuries, but still, he has come to the Colts and really changed things. So this is the first time for Derrick Henry against this defense. You know, you can go back and look at history against the Colts and all that stuff, but when you have a guy like this coming into your defense, it's like talking about the Titans' rush offense over 10 years against somebody, like with five of those years without Derrick Henry. It's really irrelevant.
And then the other guy you got to worry about, the maniac, Darius Leonard out there, who, I mean, so far this year has been good. He's got one sack on the year, 37 tackles, one forced fumble, but a guy that you know at any point can really change the game. Darius Leonard, a really good player for the Colts.
Yeah, no, great player, great draft pick a couple years ago for Chris Ballard. Went down with kind of like the whole defense last year to a certain extent, but he's back. He's right in the middle of that defense making plays. Again, they have Autry and Houston rushing, both good rushers. It's going to be really interesting tonight, and key tonight, I think. I think it's going to be a little bit of the Titans seeing it for themselves. Arthur Smith and Mike Vrabel seeing, can we handle these guys? You know, can we handle these guys, or do we have to do some things to deal with them? Because if they do feel like they can handle them with those tackles, then that opens up a lot of things.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Heidi from Dixon texts in and says, the Steelers game was bigger because they're a bigger obstacle for us to get a ring. That game hopefully teaches us how to beat them the next time around. So maybe the long view there from Heidi. I like that.
All right. Heidi's coming with some controversial takes on a daily basis, but I can get behind that one. I'm still not sure you're not Stillman's burner, Heidi, but we'll see.
Joe's Clowny?
Joe's Clowny.
He'll be back in there tonight.
My Clowny.
Your boy.
My Kladavion Jones.
Hey, is this the Clowny game? Are we prepared to say it? Port, do you want to call it? Is this the game Clowny has two sacks?
I called it last week and he didn't even play, so yeah. No, I'm not going
to
call it.
Okay. I'm just checking. I feel like we have to, like one of us has to do it every week. This is the Clowny game. Joe, do you want to go out there and say
he'll do it against the Motor City? Yeah, he'll do it against the Motor City
Motor
Kitties.
Motor City Kitties?
Oh, boy. In December. Yeah. That'll be the Clown again.
Yeah. When we come back, it's a special Thursday edition of Pigskin Pick'em. We'll pick the Titans game, look around college football. The competition is close, and we all had pretty bad weeks last week, so we'll see if we can do a little better. That's coming up next. But first, Joe, you've got a word from FanDuel.
I do. FanDuel Sportsbook, that is. And if you've been watching games and wondering to yourself if betting is legal in Tennessee, well, it is. FanDuel Sportsbook is legal. And you can place your first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free. You can get up to $1,000 back if you don't win. No strings attached. Any bet you want, you win. Obviously, you win. You keep the cash. You lose, you get the whole bet back up to $1,000 in bonus site credit, and you can take another shot. Every week, there are, of course, very attractive games here. I actually, earlier in the week, advocated for Tennessee against Texas A&M. That game is not happening. There are many other options, of course. And there are more options and risk-free bets at FanDuel Sportsbook. They have a simple app. They've got live betting on every game. They've got game parlays. You can combine multiple bets into a single parlay. And, of course, you get your winnings in as little as 24 hours. Something brought to my attention by Robbie earlier. So you got a boost opportunity with Derrick Henry. Max bet $50 if he has 6 rushing yards in the first quarter tonight. Okay, 6 rushing yards. You max bet $50. That's, you know, at plus 100 right now. So that's, you know, you win $50 on Derrick Henry getting 6 yards against the Colts in the first quarter. And there are a lot of other things like that on the FanDuel Sportsbook app that you can dig into on any game out there. To claim that risk-free bet, download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Be sure to sign up with promo code Joe so you know I sent you. FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Joe, J-O-E. You must be 21 or older, present in Tennessee. The site credit is non-withdrawable. It expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. And for problem gambling support, call 800-889-9789.
We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Pigskin Pick'em with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Ah, yes, a special Thursday edition of Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's hard to pick a Titans game on a Friday, when the game happens on a Thursday. So we are adjusting. We are making it audible at the line of scrimmage. Joe, do you have a very quick update of the standings for Pigskin Pick'em? Because I know this. A 1-4 week for me last week was not a good week. I have lost some ground in this competition.
Yeah, like we said going into the break, it was not a good week for anyone. But it was especially bad for you. You went 1-4, missed your lock. Porth and I both went 2-3 and got our locks. So right now, Morth, which of course is Munson and Porth, who will always be part of this team if you win a championship, he will get a ring. You better buy him a ring, Porth. 17-18 on the season against the spread, 22 points, 5-2 on locks. I am also 17-18. I have 21 points because I'm 4-3 on my locks. Robbie, you are at 15-20.
Got some work to do.
19 points. You are 5-2 on your locks. So it's still a tight race. And all of us, sub-500 against the spread, we all got to pick it up here.
I got to get better here. It's got to get better, and it's going to start today. And with that being said, it's been a rough week in the SEC. But as of right now, Vanderbilt and Kentucky still on for Saturday. We will adjust if something happens in the next 24 hours and we have to repick. But right now, Vanderbilt and Kentucky still on. So with that being said, Kentucky minus 17 in this game. Joe, we'll start with you. Who do you got, Vanderbilt or Kentucky against the spread?
God, you have to start with me because this is another, like last week, this was my shining moment last week was picking Vandy at Mississippi State. It was tough. I remember Porth looking through the window like, oh, wait a minute, Porth wasn't here, was it? It was the day before. He was like, there was no chance. There was no chance. And I get that. It's like I just thought Mississippi State was that bad. Kentucky is very good, but they're also so limited offensively. But I'm going to go Kentucky.
It's a nice build up there. I thought for a second you were about to go Vandy back-to-back weeks.
It was tough. I mean,
I was
really
going to have some respect for you. Yes, absolutely. Ryan Porth, who you got?
What's the spread again?
Minus 17 for Kentucky.
Kentucky. Vandy won't have back-to-back close games.
Okay,
That is my analysis of that game. Go with the Wildcats.
I am also going to go with Kentucky. I think it's going to be around 20. I don't think it's going to be like this massive blowout for the Wildcats, but I think 20 is the right number. Give me Kentucky in this game against Vanderbilt. We do not have a Tennessee game to pick from this week. Of course, Texas A&M and Tennessee has been postponed. So with that, we're going to shift gears to the Big Ten. Michigan against Wisconsin. Michigan has lost 2 games in a row. Wisconsin comes in as a 4.5-point favorite in this game. Porth, we'll start with you. Who do you got in this game between Michigan and Wisconsin?
So this is Wisconsin's first or second game of the year?
Second game. Yeah, they killed Illinois in there.
And they had 2 weeks off.
Yeah, right.
Gosh. And Michigan's horrible. At home, I'll take Michigan. I have no confidence in this.
No confidence whatsoever.
But I'll take Michigan. They rally after a couple bad weeks.
Based off our conversation with Ryan McGee earlier in the show, give me the Badgers in this game. I know it's been rough. I know they've had some problems with COVID. I'm not sure what they're going to look like when they come out there on the field. But I think Michigan is in severe trouble. I think Jim Harbaugh may be disinterested at this point, and Michigan's got a lot of negativity around the program. A lot of Tennessee going on right now with Michigan. Give me Wisconsin minus 4.5, my adopted Big Ten team. Joe, who do you have?
This is also a tough one for me. See, the home thing, normally it would swing it, but you know, there's zero fans at these Big Ten games. Wisconsin's been off, and what is that? What do they look like? I agree with you on all the things about Michigan negativity. I'm going to go with Michigan, though. I do think they respond. I think they have still a lot of talent. I like Joe Milton, and I think Indiana's good. I think what we saw last week in part was that Indiana is a legit football team. So give me the Wolverines.
We're going to regret that pick about
halftime. I think you're probably right. You're probably
right. I hope
right.
You do. Don't bet against the Wisconsin Badgers in front of me. Love me some Wisconsin Badgers football. Even got a hoodie.
Yes.
You have a hoodie?
No.
No. All right, then.
He certainly doesn't have a Michigan Wolverine hoodie.
No, he certainly does not.
I don't have a Michigan State hoodie either, for the record.
Switching gears to the Titans and the Colts tonight. A big-time matchup in the AFC South. Porth's been nervous all week, but he's not starting these picks. I am, and I've got a ton of confidence in the Titans. Give me the Titans in this game. Right now, the line is even on ESPN, so this is a pick 'em straight up. There's no spread. Whoever wins outright. Give me the Titans winning this game. Joe, who do you have?
I'm going to go Titans, and I'm going to make it my lock.
Oh.
Wow.
Guaranteed.
I don't think they're going to run away with it. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think it's going to be a good game. I think the Titans are a better football team with a better quarterback, and I think they're going to control this game in a close game, if that makes sense. I think you're going to feel all night like, you know what, they're the better football team.
I like that. A lot of confidence so far displayed in the Tennessee Titans, and I have a feeling that confidence about to take a swing. Porth, who do you have in this
game?
So
if it's an even spread in Nashville, does that mean if this game was played in Indy, they'd be like 3 or 4 point favorites?
In theory, but in a COVID year, does it? You know what I mean? Because
I mean, the
maybe
home
like
teams still have like a very similar win percentage through this point of the season as they did last year.
They do?
Oh, yeah.
What sport was that? Was it one of the two sports the road team has a better record right now?
I don't know. Couldn't tell you.
Anyway.
Regardless.
Colts.
Really?
I
would have been shocked if you went Titans based on what you've done all week.
I'd hope I am dead wrong, and I'm going to be hooping and hollering in Mount Juliet if I am dead wrong, but Colts.
I could see the sadness on your face.
I'm sad. I hate doing it. I really do, but Colts.
Here is where we begin to deviate. College football picks for the week. You can choose your game. We pick different games, maybe different. Maybe we'll have the same. Who knows? Porth, we start with you. In the world of college football, okay, where are you going this week?
All right, so Virginia Tech completely screwed the pooch last week against Liberty. They were 17-point favorites at home against Liberty.
Better watch out for Liberty.
The Fighting Hugh Freezes.
Yes.
And
just signed a contract extension, by the way.
Oh, that means everything.
They returned a blocked field goal for the win, but they called timeout before said blocked field goal, and then Liberty hits the field goal to win the game 38-35. And then Virginia Tech is now 2.5-point favorites at home against Miami. I don't know how they are 2.5-point favorites. Give me the Canes. Miami plus 2.5 in Blacksburg.
That's a really good one. I like that pick a lot. Joe, we go over to you. Your college football pick of the week is?
Yeah, that's a good – I found that line to be a little bit curious, too. I'm going to go with the darling of college football, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. They are at Boston College, and it's one of those tricky lines. Boston College is getting 13.5 points.
Ooh.
It's a tricky one. And, you know, it's usually like I'm staying the heck away from something like that.
Okay.
But I think this is a letdown for sure for Notre Dame. I think Boston College is actually not a bad team. They're at home, and I'm going to take them. And I'm going to take those 13.5 points. I think that they make this game close, make the Irish work. Ultimately, Notre Dame wins a close game, but give me Boston College at 13.5.
Are you comfortable going the extra mile and say Boston College wins and totally throws the college football playoff into shambles?
It would be amazing. I mean, believe me, I'm all in on it happening, but I don't think it quite will. I think Notre Dame will find a way to win the game.
It'd be amazing for Cincinnati if that happened.
It would be very good for Cincinnati.
Go BC.
And neither one of you taking Cincinnati with your picks this week. You've both, at least one of you, have done it in each of the past 2 weeks.
It's huge, it's like 27 points.
I know.
Yeah.
They'll probably
cover. Are they good or are they not? My goodness, who are they playing?
Is that ECU?
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on.
Can't pick them every week.
I'm going back to the Big Ten for my college football pick of the week. I saw this line, and I really, really like it. Indiana -7 against Michigan State. I know Michigan State had a big win against Michigan, but I really like what I've seen from Indiana so far. Just a touchdown favorite against Michigan State. Give me the Hoosiers and make it my lock. Michael Penix Jr., I have a lot of faith in him. Let's go, Indiana -7.
Guaranteed.
Against Michigan State.
It's a good pick. Michigan State's garbage.
Ooh,
they're trash. They're
trash.
Toxic. They're toxic.
Moving back to the NFL, this is an area where I think we all struggled last week with our NFL picks. Joe, we'll start with you. As you evaluate the NFL, which way are you going?
Well, I evaluate myself as sucking at picking NFL games.
Okay.
I'll tell you that much. But I'm going back to Monday night. I kind of screwed up last week not recognizing that the Jets were playing Monday night. I kicked myself for that. That changes sometimes garbage teams. You know, because they know that people actually have to watch them on that night.
Yeah.
But I'm going back to Monday Night Football, and I'm going Vikings at Bears.
Okay.
Vikings are getting 2.5. And we just saw the Bears. The Bears are trash. There's a lot of teams that are trash, as we were pointing out in these picks. I'm going to go Vikings and take those 2.5 points.
Gladly. I like it a lot. This one makes me very nervous because I've seen it before where I go to an area like this and Bill Belichick figures something out and I look stupid. But give me the Ravens -7 against the Patriots. It's a Sunday night game. I think the Patriots are awful. And Cam Newton, I just don't know if he's a starting level NFL quarterback anymore. And it's hard to judge him because he has no talent around him to help him whatsoever. But give me the Ravens -7 against the Patriots. Porth, I've upset you with this pick.
That was my pick.
Well, you can still pick it.
Yeah, you can still do it. Well, you and I both picked Cincinnati. Didn't we both pick Cincinnati as our lock, too?
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I like to be different.
Okay.
So that we don't always get the same.
And you still have to pick your lock.
I know. And that was going to be my lock.
You can't. You can't move off your lock.
Yes, all right. I'm going to move off my lock. All
okay.
right.
All right.
I'm going to move off my lock. Everyone is high on the Dolphins.
Oh, okay.
At home against the fighting Justin Herberts.
Guaranteed.
Chargers +2.5 in Miami.
Ooh. So is this going to be a close game? You picking the Chargers to come through in a close game?
Yes, I am.
That could be dangerous.
I am.
I
Dolphins
like that.
Have a letdown after the upset win in Arizona.
Okay, I like that. I thought about going there too, but then the way the Chargers invent ways to lose games kept me off of it. But
they'll probably lose by a point, yeah. and you'll get it.
Sure.
I like that pick. I think it absolutely sets up for the Dolphins to come back to earth a little bit,
or the Chargers will invent another new way to lose.
Yeah.
Like they do every single week, a la the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah.
And they'll give up a game-winning field goal at the horn, and the Dolphins win by 3.
Ooh. It's really impressive what they've been able to do so far in finding ways to lose. It's been unlike really anything I've seen before.
And then the Ravens will win by 20, and I'll wish that I had just stuck with the Ravens.
Well, that's okay. I hope they do win by 20. That'd be good.
By the way, picking the Colts, see, I think that's a good – the way you're feeling about this game, at least you know you'll get a pick 'em W if the same
he's not gonna care about
if
that.
Groundhog Day happens tonight, right? But there's got to be a little bit of solace, right? In the misery,
not really. All right, if the Colts win tonight, my first thought is not going to be, well, you know, at least I had him in Pigskin Pick'em.
Yeah.
Well, why? Hey, there you go. There's one little thing to hold on to. Trying to give you some sunshine early.
When we come back, we'll wrap up the show, give our final thoughts looking ahead to the game tonight between the Titans and the Colts. That's coming up next. But first, make sure you're tuning in to this weekend's NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Gary Force Acura. This Sunday's matchup, the San Francisco 49ers taking on the New Orleans Saints. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. with a 3:25 p.m. kickoff. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Week 10 of your favorite game, Silly Underdog Picks, will start today. Make your picks of the 3 college or pro football underdogs that you think will win before the college football games begin on Saturday. This week, the weekly winner will receive a Burger Republic gift card. Just hit up thegamenashville.com or the ESPN The Game Nashville mobile app and sign up to make your picks today. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And before we give our final thoughts on the Titans and the Colts, Ryan Porth, you have an update for us. From the Masters.
I do.
Good.
Have an update.
How you doing in there?
I did not turn on my mic. I just committed a Joe Rexroad.
Yes, you did.
So.
Which I didn't do at all today. Thank you.
Yeah.
Today's not over.
The soothing tones of the piano keys.
Doesn't this just put you in a better mood?
It actually does. It has me more fired up now.
Yeah.
Because we get Masters golf this weekend.
That's right.
Which, by the way, they have resumed in Augusta, Georgia after about a 2 or 3 hour lightning delay.
Okay.
And the leader, after 2 holes, his initials are JJ.
Okay.
His first name is Jazz.
Okay.
And I don't even know if I'm going to attempt to pronounce this last name. It.
Give it a roll.
Uyangalale?
You're very good at that, by the way.
It's very close. Jana Wadananud. Jana Wadananud.
Okay.
Nand. Whatever.
Okay.
JJ from Thailand is leading the Masters through 2 holes of action at 1 under. There's a host of others at even behind him.
Just a beautiful update from Ryan Porth so far.
Really goes well with the piano music.
Jazz is up in Augusta by one stroke after a 3-hour rain delay. This leaderboard update.
You imagine being like the steam press guy putting the jersey on the man? My goodness.
He'd have to put the name all around the number. Just to make it work. This leaderboard update brought to you by Music City Golf in Belmead. You can catch rounds 3 and 4 of the Masters on ESPN 94.9 this weekend. So go Jazz.
Yes. Well done, Porth.
His name is actually, his first name is tough too. Adewit. But Jazz is the nickname. 15-letter last name.
That's impressive.
You'd get a lot of points in Scrabble.
I'm kind of excited about the Masters. You know, with the Titans playing tonight, there's no Vols on Saturday for me to sit there and be miserable over. I think I'll have some time to enjoy the Masters a little bit. It's like the one golf tournament for a year that I really enjoy.
Yeah, I'm a big majors Sunday, last hour and a half or so watcher usually. But that's the thing, though, is with the NFL.
Yeah, it's going to be a little different.
I don't know. I think I might watch the NFL. Is that crazy of me?
No.
Although that music has me in the mood for some golf.
Yeah. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron texts in, this is the Clowney game. I'm calling it. Two forced fumbles for Clowney tonight. So somebody's called the Clowney game.
Okay.
Ron might be the lone remaining person willing to go down that road.
It's a better road to go down than they're better without him, which I'm actually refreshed by how little I've heard that this week. Good job, people. Don't take the bait.
I'm here to tell you. They get lit up tonight with him back in there.
It's all his fault.
It's all going to be back on him.
That's right.
Really looking forward to that. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Josh from Florida texts in, Titans winning 24-21 with a game-winning field goal tonight. I also went the game-winning field goal route. 23-20 was my score.
You did. I think that's a reasonable way to look at it. I got to win it by TD, though. But they've got a new – they have a new holder again. Is that right? I believe so.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I don't remember who reported it first yesterday, but a different punter. And I don't remember if the Titans actually put that in the transactions yet or not. But it was reported they have a new punter, which is interesting.
Yeah, didn't he do pretty well last week?
He did awfully well. And he's a guy who was held before for Gostkowski, but – that's at least been reported. I'll have to look up and see. We won't be able to look it up before the show ends, but that's another
Trevor
thing
Daniel?
To keep an eye. Is it Trevor Daniel?
Is that former UT Vol, Trevor Daniel?
There you go. And didn't Dustin Colquitt also get in there?
Hey.
On the tryout front?
I think so.
They've had like every punter in the world through there. So, Gostkowski kicking a field goal tonight. Would that the game winner, would that take people, would that move it all past, he's no longer a concern?
Until he goes 1 for 5 next week, yeah.
Or if he misses 3 kicks before the game winner tonight,
yeah.
A la Denver.
If he misses 3 kicks and Vrabel trots him out there for that alone will be heart attacks in the stands.
I'll have a heart attack.
Yeah.
Watching at home, 1,000%.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think it's pretty clear Vrabel, he's going to keep sending him out there. I mean, it's not like there's been a situation where they've been like, man, I don't know about this Gostkowski guy. Let's just not kick the field goal. Like, that hasn't happened yet.
I don't think they've had – have they had any moment where it's like 4th and 7 from the 35? And
no.
They're like, they just
kick it.
Yeah.
Ravel's got his chart, man.
Hey, over the long haul, maybe it'll work out. It seems like Gostkowski needs to not wear the socks, That seems to be a big deal for him. I don't care how cold it is. Don't wear the socks.
Do you think he wore the socks in New England? I mean, it's pretty cold up there.
Yeah, I think the no sock thing is a pretty new thing for him.
Well, maybe he needs to go back to wearing old socks.
Yep, that maybe. Go back to wear some Patriot socks.
Put some Patriot socks on. Kicking the ball.
Go with those navy britches, some Patriot socks today.
Hey, he was fine last week.
He was.
Does that make you nervous that he was fine last week? Maybe it's like Phillip Rivers. One week it's bad Phillip Rivers. One week it's good Phillip Rivers. Maybe this week it's bad Gostkowski. They can't afford that in this game. It's going to be too close, I think.
Yeah, well, they won't. They probably won't win. I mean, you know, unless they're finishing all their drives with touchdowns, probably going to need him to step up. And again, if that's a concern, it shouldn't be a thing with a kicker. A bad and good quarterback, fine, but kicker you can't have bad and good kicker weeks.
Can you explain
to
me?
You need a new kicker.
Like, I know that y'all don't see a lot of practice, but like, what do the kickers do all week at practice? It seems like you would sit there to me. Well, I understand, but like, it seems like you would sit there to me, and like, I would kick like 250 field goals in one day. It doesn't seem like they do that.
No, there's definitely some. It's like your pitch count.
Yeah,
they keep it to. They have those high pressure little periods in practice, and other than that, there's a lot of
standing around,
kind of doing what we were doing, talking sports for a few hours. You know,
do they come out with like 20 minutes left in practice? Come out of the facility and just start kicking field goals at the end of practice.
I feel like they're out there.
But they're out there the whole time?
I feel like it, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Loitering.
Loitering.
Hey, man, you just got to perform when the lights are on, you know?
That's right.
Like the Titans do tonight.
Final thoughts real quickly. Titans win this game tonight. What does that tell you about their team?
It tells me they're as good as I thought they were, which is the best team in the AFC South, a little bit better team than the Colts, and a team that is growing as you would hope a team would be at midseason.
Titans lose tonight, and let's say they lose by a comfortable margin. Mm. What does that tell you?
One, that they didn't step up in a big moment, and that's troubling. And also, it probably tells me that the Colts are better than I thought they are. That's probably some of it. But it also tells everyone that the AFC South is very much back up in the air.
The line right now shifting towards the Colts. I think earlier in the week the Titans were a 1.5-point favorite. It was even in the pick'em, and now in some sports books now it's shifted to the Colts.
Correct.
Minus one.
Yep.
1.5. So
I know BetMGM has Colts at minus 1.5 now. Open at Titans minus 3.
Yeah.
That's a big shift.
Pretty big shift
in
there.
A short week.
Going to the favor of the Colts. That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back in the morning, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. to react to all things Titans Colts tomorrow. Darren Donica Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
I sold my car in Carvana last night.
Well, that's cool.
No, you don't understand. It went perfectly. Real offer, down to the penny. They're picking it up tomorrow. Nothing went wrong.
So, what's the problem?
That is the problem. Nothing in my life goes as smoothly. I'm waiting for the catch.
Maybe there's no catch.
That's exactly what a catch would want me to think.
Wow, you need to relax.
I need to knock on wood. Do we have wood? Is this table wood?
I think it's laminate.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's close enough.
Car selling without a catch. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.